I don't even know where to start, so we'll just start from the beginning. First of all, I want to thank Miss Mary and for her family out there. There's no way we could do the things that we did out there and reach the people that we reach if it wasn't for her very large family and very loving. At any time, if I needed something, it was there. It was there. I mean, at any time. And I got to be honest, I've traveled, visited many places in the United States, many places overseas and in the Navy and just doing families and stuff. But I've never been with a family that everybody loved the Lord so much. That's a great testimony. And it comes from Abraham, the dad, the faith that he put in his kids and the faith that they put instill in their kids and the faith that they. So it's a good thing. And you see that a lot in families, in Christian families over there, but they're just an overwhelming bunch. But we had a good time over there. So I want to thank everyone that's been supporting and praying. And we had on our first service, just to let you know, we had over 80 Muslims and Hindus come to the Lord on our very first service. And my group did not tell me we were going to be going to an underground church, kind of an underground church in the middle of a Hindu village, because they didn't want me to, because they know I'm going to be posting stuff and updating people on schedules. They told me we're going to be doing a service in Huraku, which is where Mary's family lives, and we're going there, and they're going, we're in Huraku, and all of a sudden we're going to Sambalpur, and I'm like, okay, well, where are we going? We're going to an underground church. I'm like, well, you know, y'all got to tell me this so I can get something written out. And 10 minutes before we get there, God gives me a sermon, and the sermon was about the man. Remember the young boy that threw himself on the rocks all the time in the cemetery and was always hurting himself, and Jesus seen him in a cemetery, and all the people knew that this young man was crazy. And there's actually was two boys, if you look in Matthew. Mark and Luke talked about one boy, the one that he healed and came to the Lord and said, Lord, where shall I go? What should I do? But there was two boys, and the other boy was just mentioned that he got his healing, but it doesn't mention that he came to the Lord. And that was a perfect sermon to set up and talk to all the people there, because there was people just standing outside where we were at. It was a small little house, very small, no bigger than maybe this little section of chairs. And we had everybody packed in there, and the music was playing. And I preached that sermon that, you know, Jesus is going to heal you because he's God. He will. And just because he loves you, even if you're not saved, he's still going to heal you. But before you leave today, you know, that's just the fruit, the benefit of what God wants to do for you. And I preached that he wants to save you. And I made sure I covered it two or three times. They knew what that was. And when I asked for the altar call, everybody in that room lifted up their hands, including those 80 Hindus that came in and 80 Muslims. And we prayed, they got saved. And God just did some phenomenal things there and just in healing and stuff. And God did something in me. God let me operate in a gift that a lot of you don't know my history before I came here, even before I met Mary's husband, Dr. Paul. I was very strong into the healing ministries, very strong going to places, holding healing revivals, and, you know, and just moving and operating in a gift that I would just say was like Benny Hinn's, like Shambach's, and like that kind of, that's what I grew up learning, that's what I grew up doing, and that's what my element was. That was my comfort zone. But, you know, I spent about 20 years serving now. So God let me operate in that gift again, and I tell you, it was like it was home. It felt like home. I knew what to do. I could hear the Spirit. And when Timothy was recording and stuff and taking pictures, and after the first service, last year was awesome. And then after the first service, he's like, you're stronger this year. I go, no, it's my faith. It's trusting God to do this all. That's what's stronger. And he goes, it's a stronger move than last year. I go, I know. And the next year comes to be stronger. And the next year will be stronger. God grows and builds the things that you're doing. And we had so many people coming up after they seen the power of God touch and heal people. And after the salvations, they kept coming through there when I was praying for the sick, asking for me to pray for the Holy Ghost for them. And I said, you know, it takes time to pray for that. We all know that. So I asked everyone that wants the Holy Ghost to go in the corner and wait, and we'll pray for them. And after we finished all the healing service and prayed for everyone, and then we went over there, and they reminded me to go pray for the ones with the Holy Ghost. And I stood from here, and they're probably where the projector was, almost on the outside of the building. And I just start praying. I said, have them sing and pray to the Lord. And they were singing and praying to the Lord. Everyone fell out in the Spirit right there, that instant. They just fell out. And that was phenomenal. And the thing is, we deposited something. I covered something that I learned from Pastor, that I learned from Gerald, and that is what seed and harvest and sowing. I covered that with them. And I just said, you know what? for those that are seeing me for the first time, this, I'm planting a seed of faith in you. I go, those that I'm seeing for the second time, I'm watering you. I go, because God's going to do a harvest in your life. And you should see those guys. They just love the Lord so much, all these people. And it was in the middle of a predominantly Hindu village, so that was a good thing. And people, when I was leaving, people were coming out wanting to get prayed for. And so I prayed for them as I was leaving and stuff. And it was good. And, you know, I ate so much Indian food. it was nice. So that was the first day. And that was the first day of the event. And the next day, we went to a place called Chhattisgarh. And Chhattisgarh is about 2 hours away, but it's only really about 120 kilometers. But it takes you more than 3 hours to get there because the Indian roads and the crazy driving. If y'all write down this this website, I'll give you. That's where you can watch all the Indian video. I already posted it. It's indiaupdate.revministries.com, and you can watch all the video. I got crazy driving on there. I got pictures of everybody. I got video of all the conference stuff. But when we went to Chhattisgarh, and these people never seen the power of God move, but they're wanted a healing conference, a healing service. And when we got there, now Chhattisgarh is a different state. It's outside of Orissa, and it's a state we hadn't worked in before. And they're real open to us and everything. And the interpreter, when we're praying and stuff, people after the service, after I preached on faith, I preached on the power of God, I preached on how God wants it for you today, just to get them to where they needed to get. And when we prayed for them, there wasn't much happening. You know, when we start praying, so I was like, you know, we got to just keep believing and keep praying. And so I got back on the, and I, you know, I've learned something over life. And if nothing's happening when you're trying to pray for people, you get back on there and you start preaching again and get their faith to where they got to get. And we got them to that point, and then God started touching them. Well, his grandmother came up, and when his grandmother came up, he said, my grandmother's deaf. The interpreter is like, my grandmother's deaf. She, you know, she can't hear anything. And can you pray for her? I'm like, well, sure. And I put my hands on her ears, and I just prayed, and I could feel God just come through me and touch her. And I said, well, ask her, you know, if she can hear. And he looks at me with the most puzzled face, but she's deaf. I go, son, that's why we got to ask her if she's healed. You know, it's okay, just ask her. And then before he could ask her, she jumped on my neck and was holding me, and she's crying that she could hear. So, and then when that happened, you know, when that happened, it's like the whole place erupted and people start coming up, and they're practically like pushing me towards the door. And so we had to put some, you know, after the first two services, we got our system down working with them and with my team and stuff. And we're able to know how to get them to get prayed up, get over here and get prayed for. And we prayed for everyone in there. In fact, we had a second service there. More people piled in and people from the village came. And so this trip was, yes, we did have a pastor's conference. We did have a huge evening crusade and prayer. But we went to a lot of villages, and we went to go see how they lived, and went to go bless with their homes and bless their services, and work with their congregation, because those people would not make that long trip to where we usually have our conferences. And it was interesting because we've seen a lot of different things, a lot of demon possession out there. I mean, that area, just a lot of demonic possession. The next day, we went to Candomar. And for those that don't know, in 2008, Candomar was a persecuted area. Many Christians were killed. Many pastors were killed. The tea makers that would just sell chai tea in the streets were killed in the streets. We have video of that. And these people were just completely annihilated, almost. The Christian place, houses and churches burnt down. And so we went there. That's a six-hour journey. I was like, Lord, okay, I'll go on the six-hour journey for you, Lord. And it was six-hour Indian time. It's actually 8 hours. And when we get there, it was an interesting place because they were like, okay, how many services do we have today? Because we already did three services. It was my third day, and we already did four services by then. So, I mean, and you know, that takes a lot out of you when you're praying for people. And when we're going there, they go, we got five. Oh, it's okay, we only got five healing services. I go, five healing services? I go, I could probably do three, and then I'm going to be dead tired after that. They were so excited to have someone there to preach and to pray. They just booked me like crazy. But the thing was that every little church and stuff was either at the bottom of a mountain or at the top of a mountain or the side of a mountain. So it couldn't be like just 5 minutes across the street. It's like 20, 30 minutes of weaving and going until you got to the right spot. And the first church we went to, I noticed something that was very interesting. The first place we went to, there was no men in the church. And I asked them why. And then just before we got there, I videotaped all these grave sites. And there were all the men. They were part of the church. And the women and the pastor looked so so just deflated. He had no life in him. He loved the Lord, yes, but he just looked tired. And he's living out of a tent. His family's living out of a tent. The only thing that actually is almost a structure is a church they have. It has bamboo sticks and has a tin roof. And that's the only kind of a building that they have there. So we partnered with some of the funds that we raised. We put, seed of faith there to help them start building their church. And that's a big part of what we did there. And then we prayed for them and stuff, and God moved and healed the women of the church there as well. And then we went to the second place, and the second place in Cannon Mall was so nice. Right when we pulled up, I seen a lot of men out there. Just, whenever you see men in a church, there's faith in there. And the reason I'm saying that, nothing against women, because that means the women prayed them in. Come on, and that's true. And it's like, so when you see a lot of men in a church, you see strong faith happening. And when I walked in there, we pulled up, I said, this church, we're going to have an awesome service because I see a lot of men just pouring out. And then, it was 50-50, 50% women, percent men. And when we started praying and we started preaching and stuff, the kids were so special. A lot of these kids that were there were from that village were the kids that we took. Some of these kids, not the exact kids, but the kids from that village we took to DTC, which is Mary's father's ministry, and we took them there, like 26 kids, I think, that we have there that are being in the orphanage. Now, those kids are all there, and they're so loving and so powerful in faith. They're an exact replica of what's in that village as well with the kids, because when I started praying, it was prayer service time, and we started to pray. It didn't take much, but those kids all fell out in the spirit like that. They were laying for 20, 30 minutes on the floor. God was just touching them and ministering to them. And I said, what the devil wanted to kill when he's trying to kill Cannon Mall Christians, he tried to kill these kids. Yeah, they're all about 5, 6, 7 years old. The oldest one's about 12, and she's about this tall. She's beautiful. Her name's Mary as well. and they are so loving, and it's like, they're like, after the service, even Timothy's like, do it again. I go, do it again. Go pray for him again. So I said, they all wanted to get touched by the Lord again, all the kids and stuff. And it's like, they go, do it like a drum. I'm like, what? Just go like that. So I just went over there to their heads and do like that. And they all fell down in the spirit. I'm like cracking up laughing. And the girls were picked up their hands and they're like yelling, us too. And I'm like, Lord, bless them. I'm like that. And then they all just fell out on the Lord. The Lord just touched them and they fell. And they're on top of each other laying like that. Just knocked out. And I'm like, because there are some churches I went to and I prayed and the kids fell and I can tell they're, how they pretend. And I was like, bad. And I'm playing around with the kids. But these, no, they were so loving and stuff. And that's where I encountered a little kid that was unusual, though. I called him Chucky. And the reason I called him Chucky was he's a little demonic baby. And it's like a lot of things we don't realize what we're doing out there. And you're praying for people. I had a lady come to me, asked me to pray for her kid because he wouldn't eat or he wouldn't keep his food down. And I went over there and all my translators were gone. And I'm like, great, the team's not here. And I looked back and I'm like, okay, let me pray for you. And I reached for this kid. And I reached for the kid. The kid got my hand and threw it back at me. And I reached for this kid again with my other hand and he threw it back at me again. And he just looked at me. And I reached with both hands and he got both my hands and said like, no. And he threw his hand at me. He's still a year and a half. And he said, no. And then I was like, what? So I went ahead and just like, I'm being gentle because it's a child, right? And that's kind of like it's like, it's just like, do you go a little rough or you go a little gentle? So I just reached over with both hands and grabbed it at the same time. You know what it did? It left its mama and was on my hands wrapped like this and was biting my hand. And I'm like, Lord, have mercy, get this child off me. So I just grabbed the kid and I was like, I'm tired of being gentle. And I didn't want to have it suffer from shaking baby syndrome or anything. So I just grabbed it real strong and physical, hold it tight enough. And I said, in Jesus' name. And so I started preaching to it and praying because like I would pray towards an adult. I just started praying the same way. And it submitted and it just was starting to get tired. And I put it on the mom's hand. I kept praying and take my hand, got more oil, kept praying. And it just finally just threw up right there on my boots and it passed out. And then so that taught me something in faith. Sometimes we, it's a baby and stuff, but it's a demon inside. You have to be just as physical. And I was being real gentle, real loving. And I'm like, no, I got to be stern and firm. Some of those things kind of fool you. And that was a lesson there. And that was like one of the biggest things there that I ran into a lesson for myself. And And then when Cannonball was great, all those people, we got to go to three services, and we got to hold as many. We're in the middle of the dark doing a service, and we got back driving and stuff like at 1 or 2 in the morning. And then the next morning, I was going to different churches, tribal churches, people that are from the tribes and stuff. We went to like maybe 3 or 4 of those with Sira, with Shadrach, and those were real nice. And there were not that many people there, but they were just wanting to have the Lord touch. And it's funny because Shadrach, good man, loving man, he goes, okay, we're going to do 12 churches. I'm like, 12 churches? I go, what are we doing? And he goes, you're going to pray and heal, pray and heal. I go, well, I can't just pray and heal. I need to preach because I got to get their faith to where they can receive. And he's like, okay, 5 minutes preaching, 5 minutes praying. I'm like, Shadrach, I go, it don't work like that. It's not a button that I press. It's not? I'm like, no. I go, no, I just can't go, go, go. I mean, it's like, you know, even Jesus stopped and he talked about, I mean, you can go and just pray for people, but I mean, I want to deposit faith in them, because to me, it's more important to give them faith and then their healing, because I mean, it's like, at least faith is going to carry them in life. I go, healing, I mean, you can pray for someone and they can get healed. That's not an issue, but I want to make sure, you know, I want to give them more than what they have today. And he's like, okay. And we were able to do 3 or 4 churches and stuff. And these people, I tell you one thing about the Indian people I know, they will wait. They will wait, they will wait, they will wait for God to come and for the man of God to come. We have people waiting since 10 a.m. We didn't get to them until 6 or 7. And they're still in there. And then we'd give them a few, we'd sit there and we'd wait for them now, because you know, we're late, and they would all come in and we'd give them time, and because they're already busy into their dinner stuff and all that. And then they come back and sit down and we'd pray and preach to them and stuff. And I tell you, I fell in love with so many people out there that just love God, mainly Mary's family. There's so many of them. You know, my little partner always followed me everywhere is Nasu, Jacob. He just followed me everywhere. He was my assistant. Anything I needed, he'd get. Anything, and he's like, he reminded me of David, so that's probably why I just was crazy about him. I kept him with me, and he just followed me everywhere, and they did a real good job of putting everything together. You know, when we started doing the events, it was like Shadrach was really good at the pastors' conferences and crusades, and Amos was really good at the villages. He knew the villages really well, so I divided them up, gave them a budget, and said, this is what you got to do. And you know, we came in on budget, and That's a big blessing when you do that. And when we finally got to the evening services, where we're doing the two night services for healing and stuff, and the pastors' conferences, those are like the things I like, you know, because more numbers, more exciting stuff. But it's good to go to places and visit the smaller places and to encourage them and to bless them and stuff. But that night that we had the actual healing services and stuff, it was amazing. I was sharing earlier. To a few of you, that I was just sharing that when I went to go preach the first night, it's like I had a sermon that God gave me that was just so strong that I walked in a different level of preaching that night. It was a crusade, like if I was preaching to the masses, and I could feel myself go to another level in preaching, and it was good. And that night, many healings happened. But you know, we didn't have seen many souls. So the next night, I prayed and said, God, I want to see souls. I want to see souls. And He gave me a word. And he didn't give me a sermon. And the word was, you know, why did Jesus do the things he did? And I took that. And I said, Lord, I don't know. You know, every time I try to sit down for a few minutes just to write something out, to get it in my spirit, I just, you know, I couldn't find anything. And I couldn't think of anything. And I just thought of stories in the Bible, and they didn't fit. And that's just how I create sermons, how I just go through my mind. Nothing was there. So the moment they called me up, I just knew I'm going to go off this word and see where God leads me. And I tell you what, it was just out of my mouth came just the words that they needed. And I said, you know, why did Jesus go and heal on the Sabbath? You know, he could have waited till the next day and healed someone. But why did he go heal on the Sabbath and get everybody so frustrated with him and make a ruckus of things and everybody getting mad at him? You know, why did he go over there and pray and tell the man to take up his bed and start walking? You know, why did he do those kind of things? And everybody was listening and stuff. And I said, because he wanted to show you that religion had no place with God, that it wasn't about religion. It wasn't about doing things like you're supposed to be doing for God to hear. It's about Jesus Christ. And I went with that theme and just went through the whole service talking about things like that. And you know, because it's a very religion place, Hinduism, Muslims, and even the Christianity faith, you want to challenge them. You want to make them know it's about Jesus, and it's about serving him and worshiping and following him. And when I went on that, I mean, it's like, we got to the final part of it, and I talked about the pool of Bathsheba, where the angel would come and stir the water. And I told him, you know, Jesus walked to someone that didn't know how, that knew, that was standing there at the pool, that would never ever get into that water because he could not walk. And he said he had no one else to help him. I go, do you know that Jesus is constantly looking at you, constantly just looking at who he can help, because he's into helping people that can't help themselves. And I, when I said that, and I said, do you know that when Jesus did that, he healed that man walked off. And again, that made everybody mad because it was on the Sabbath. I go, Jesus is doing the same thing for you right now. He's looking at you because there's a pool of grace that you can't come into unless he brings you to it. And I preached on that, and then I gave my I call it my Ronnie Reagan speech. If your life is better than where it is, if you have everything you need, if you don't need anything else, then don't come to Jesus. But if you ain't getting your prayers answered, if health isn't there, if you don't know where you're at, if you're confused and you're not happy where life is, then you come to Jesus right now. And you just see the people. I could see the rain of the Lord just coming down. And we had hundreds coming up, hundreds running up there to get saved, hundreds of them just running up there to get saved. And I looked to the right, and I thought that was the ministry team. Well, they all came and got saved. I don't know what that issue was, but I said, well, praise God, we'll take them anyway. And they were just completely and literally saturated. I don't think after they came to the front and we said the prayer, and I went through it three times to make sure they're receiving Jesus. They know that they're coming to the Lord. They're coming to the Christian faith. And then as soon as I finished the prayer, it's like they were just gone in the spirit. God was ministering to them. And I left them people alone and let them sit there. And then we had all the people that were waiting for prayer and stuff. So we went to the prayer service. And that night, we had a special anointing, and thousands came through there and were healed and touched. I think they counted like 300 people got saved that night. So, I mean, that's a blessing. And that was in the middle of San Rapport, which is in Monday Baptist Church, which we rented the facility for very cheap. It was like one of the biggest, oldest churches in the area. And the pastors that were there, that were on the panel and stuff, that were at the pastors' conferences, they were saying that it was the most successful event that they have seen ever in their city. And I'm like, amen. That's God. And we were able to feed everybody that night. We had so much food left over that we were able to feed the entire people that came out that night. It was a blessing to see so many people. Well, the bigger blessing on top, because God always has something more. Amen. The bigger blessing is this. Monday Baptist Church loved our services so much that they gave us their children's facility. They gave us their 170 capacity kids, and Shadrach got it all confirmed. So we have a building now for all the kids. And we have right now 27 kids in the village that need to come from the village in the next 2 months, because school starts in the next 2 months. I want y'all to pray that we can raise support to help those 27 kids and bring them over, and then we'll have a total of almost 50 to 60 kids that we're helping every month. And I think Chadwick said with the facility itself, it's going to be less than $15 to $20 a kid, and that's a big blessing, because they just said, we want to work with y'all. We love what y'all did. Come back next year or a few months, do another conference. In fact, we rented the place for more. Then what they took, they actually just took a portion of what they wanted us to rent the facility for. When we came time to pay them for using the facility, it was like a third of what they quoted us to rent the place. So that's even a blessing, you know. So I just want to encourage you that the work out there was great. But you know what? It's like I was telling the guys, I get invited to different places to preach, different countries and things like that. And you know, we all want to go out and preach, but if I'm going to miss time with my kids and time with my wife and time with my church, I need to go to places I know that God is sending me. And India is a movement. It's just not a place where we're preaching and we say a few sermons and we leave. Because, I mean, on Wednesday, oh Lord, I preached 7 sermons in one day, all the teaching to pastors. And then next year, I definitely need to take a couple of pastors with me to help me do the teaching. Because as I pray and get ready for the evening, I notice that the miracles and the healings are stronger if I take the 4 hours before the service and just pray. And that's something I learned from Paul. And I know that when all the things that we do out there is good, I see a good thing happening. One thing I know for sure is that we're going to Orissa, which is the most persecuted and most neglected church, the next neglected state in the Christianity. Every dollar that comes from America, 70% of that dollars go to Andhra Pradesh, Hyderabad, Delhi, or Bombay. It does not get, it is not funneled to Orissa. Why? Orissa is the hardest place to just get to physically. I mean, it's there's no direct airport straight to, unless you're going to Raipur or to Bhubaneswar. So a lot of churches, you're going to get, if you're trying to do a big crusade and stuff, well, you're going to get bigger numbers in Andhra Pradesh or Hyderabad. You're talking about 60% Christians living in those areas. You know, the Christian faith that is in India is in those areas. And so what we're doing, and I like the big numbers, I like the big crusades, but the thing is, this church, this ministry, is reaching a place that has been neglected, a place that not many people have gone to preach, a place that never been big crusades there. And we're doing something that no other ministry is doing, just because I know, because most of the people out there aren't from anywhere other country. They're all Indians that are pushing the gospel. And I really feel that God's called us to minister in that state. And we're ministering in Chhattisgarh, and that's a new state for us. In fact, Chhattisgarh has offered to the church that we worked out there, they're going to put a 5,000 crusade night for us, a night with 5,000 people. And we're going to be able to go back there in October, and they're going to hold this huge event. And then we have another part of Orissa we're going to, Gajapati. That's another place. They have four churches. Each church is over 4,000 people. And they want us to come out, and we're supposed to do that on the last leg of the trip, but that's a 13-hour journey from where we're at, because there's no direct route. You got to go up, then down, then around. And that, you know how long it takes in a helicopter? 40 minutes. So, you know, next in October, I have faith that God can bring in $400 that I can take a helicopter over the mountain. That's all you're going is around the mountain. So that's God. I mean, God's put those tools there, and they can be used for that kind of stuff. And I have faith in that. And so next October 2011, we're planning to have two crusades there, plus another one in Samarpur and Haraka. So God is doing something. I want y'all just to pray. I mean, I thank God for keeping me safe. I blend in well. Everybody out there think I'm from Northeast India. As long as I don't talk, I learned one word, Dandabai. Thank you. That's what I learned. The only word I learned is some food stuff, and I blend in. In fact, when I was in Bombay coming back, I think they thought I was like a Bollywood movie star, because everybody was smiling at me and stuff, and I'm like, what's going on? And they pushed me right through customs, and I'm like going in and stuff, and I'm going to the men's room, right? And I'm like, you're going over there, and then the man standing out there, and he's just smiling at me and stuff, and he's like all happy that I'm coming to the restroom. I'm like, this is getting weird. And then I go inside there to go to the stall, and then the other guy's over there, oh, it's all happy and stuff, and cleaning the restroom, sprays it down for me, this everything, and this is completely for you. And I'm like, okay. So I come out and stuff, and then when I come out, I was going to give the guy like 5 rupees or 10 rupees, you know, just for keeping the place clean for me. He's like, no, he gives me this look, entertainment book or something, and he gives me a pen. So I just signed the book for him. I was like, oh, you must think I'm a Bollywood star. And then I walked out to the main terminal. There's like a line of people with little things, and I'm like just signing them as I go by. I'm like, praise the Lord. Cause, you know, we're in Mumbai, which is the Bollywood, which is the Hollywood for India, and I just had the complexion and the charisma that looks like a movie star out there. I'm like, well, thank God for that, because they got me to the airplane. I was able to go to the VIP straight to the plane, and I was able just to relax over there. And but see, God has his hand on you. The day before the Crusades nights, I'm going to make sure I give you those dates before I go, when I go out there, because my body was attacked tremendously, just not by just the stomach or anything, but just physically I was drained. And I even had a full day's rest, just besides going to the churches. Really wasn't tiring. So I know the enemy really hits me when I'm out there doing that kind of stuff. And one thing I just noticed too is God says, stir up the gift that's within you. Amen. And then I just know that God's wanting me to do more of the healing services, and whether it's the United States or Mexico or whatever, God's wanting that gift to come up in his time. And I want you to pray for me for that, because I mean, when I was out there, I could just feel that God was just calling me to do this, because none of them really know my history before and all that, but I was really into that big time, and that's why I ran into Dr. Paul, because Dr. Paul seen that gift in me, and he told me that. He goes, I'm going to show you and train you what you're supposed to do, and he did, and even when I got into India, Shadrach, he's silly, you know, because Kapionam's he's in Karaka, I believe, and then Paul is Andhra Pradesh, He goes, and David is Orisa. I'm like, he's like already claiming me to save Orisa and do the work. But you know, I really believe as we all work and we're all part of this, that we're reaching unreached people. I mean, to get Hindus to come to the Lord, to get 300 people just, and they came off the street, most of them, because the Baptist church is right here in the main streets, right in front of it, the main street to get in and out of the city. And we offered free food for the last night for anyone that came up. We just put free food everywhere, put flyers and everything. And we packed the house out, and they all ate, but they all got the Lord. There ain't nothing wrong with offering free food, amen. And then you know, I told him this. I go, today you will see Jesus Christ touch people and heal people. And I go, why? Because you have prayed, and you have prayed, and your gods have not answered you. But Jesus will answer and heal those that are sick. And we had plenty of people just come up afterwards telling us, and we got them on videotape and pictures of them telling us that they were healed and their bodies were touched. And I can't imagine a better investment than what we did out there, because honestly, the whole thing, really, I raised close to $3,000, and that wasn't including my airfare. And we did over 26 services, and you know, thousands came or healed and hundreds were saved. So, I mean, if you look at a dollar amount, I mean, that's like a good investment. Tiring, though. Oh, I was ready to come home. I was ready to come home. But every time on my trip back home, on the last leg of the trip, I get either an upgrade in the airplane or God does something good. And this time there was nobody sitting behind me. So I went and took the whole row and I just slept all the way back. And it was a blessing. But, you know, when I first got there, and I'll close with this. When I first got there, you know, you go on 20-hour flights and then you take three planes and then you take a 6-hour car ride. You know, you just get pretty much tired and your emotions get the best of you. You're tired. You're like, oh, what am I doing? And I had one of those moments. We didn't even preach our first service. I'm just being honest with you. And then in the middle of a crazy nation like India, this big old diesel, you know how the diesels are? They look they're not like our American diesels. They're more like big old dump trucks that are really long. And on the back of the bumper sticker, do you know what it said? It said, God is great. And I got out my video camera and I recorded that real quick. It said, God is great. I started chuckling. I just started laughing. And then Timothy, you know, Timothy is like the perfect little host. He wants to make sure that you're all alive and happy the whole time. If you're quiet for one moment, he's like, what's wrong? What's wrong? That's my brother. He's my best friend. And he cracks me up and he makes me laugh on that stuff. And he's like, he hears me laughing. He goes, David, you okay? Holy Ghost moment. I'm like, Holy Ghost moment. He goes, yes, Holy Ghost moment. And he's like, you look at that. He looked up in front. He goes, record it. I go, I am. I'm already recording it. But that's just God. No matter where you're at, he knows how to encourage you. He knows how to make you know that you're doing what you're supposed to be doing. And in the first event to set the tone. And we have so many, you know, and these are your students too. We have so many young people. I mean, they're from like 14 to 18 to 20. That just love the Lord, that were my team out there. They would follow me, and when I started doing the healing services, they know what I needed and how to get in there. Apparently, no one's taught Indian churches how to catch people. So when you pray, they just hit the floor. I'm like, Timmy, they're not catching. Well, they don't know how to do that. I'm like, okay. I'm like, they see someone falling. Well, they're just going to get out of the way. I'm like, well. So I had to train my team in a very short time to catch bodies. And then, you know, because of the culture, nobody wanted to catch the ladies. I'm like, well, guys, you got to get someone to catch the ladies. So we had to get ladies to catch the ladies, and I totally adapted. And it was just a different thing. But those guys, by the time we got to Candomal and the 10, by the time we did the big event, you know, they were trained. And even in the big event, because it's a different church, it was their team, it was another team that put that together. And I was starting to pray, and my team is not even, they're all scattered. And these guys don't know about catching and stuff. So I just got on the microphone. I go, would DTC team please get up here right now? And they all came running up there, and they were shy. I go, no, you need to be bold in Christ. Get up here. It don't matter. They go, it's our service. It may be their church, but it's our service. And, you know, just teaching them. We have some good people out there, good, loving people. We have one guy that does all the children's church. His name's Jonah, and I want you to pray for Jonah. He works in a very hard job physically, it's dangerous. He I don't know what he burns, but he has to go through thousands of degrees burning stuff, and then he comes and works with the kids. Our kids are a reflection of this pastor, because he's a children's church minister, and all of them are loving. In fact, we had a service right before I left at Mary's house in the living room, And we prayed for the kids. Every one of those kids just fell out in the Spirit. Didn't even have to pray long. They all just, I'm like, these kids just like to fall. They just fell out. And they're just a reflection of love and enjoying. They're all between, I don't know, 4 all the way to 8, and even probably older than that, maybe 12. Yeah, they love the Lord so much. And he does a good work on us. So I tell them, we're going to, like, you know, all the funds that we're trying to put together for him, we want to support him. One of the first ones as a pastor we support, so he can just concentrate on those kids. He's doing a great, you know what he did? He knew the kids needed funds. He went and got a job and was working at night trying to, and that's what he's working, just to support the kids and stuff. And that's a blessing, you know. And I eat every one of them. I covered the sowing and reaping. Was a sermon with them, and just taught them something Gerald taught me on just shaking a person's hand. He goes, you give a hand, you get a hand back. You give a smile, you get a smile back. And I always got someone from the audience to come help me. I go, that is God's sowing and reaping concept. That is his principle. What you give is what you're going to get. But he gives it shaken together, pressed over, measuring over. And they all got, that was the simplest. They just, it broke down a lot of walls. And I was able to teach on tithe and teach on offerings, teach on you know, whatever you got. God said, just put it out there. He's going to bless it. He said he'll give you seed to the sower. And I taught on that. And so we, a lot of teaching, a lot of preaching. And it just a good 2 weeks. But, you know, it was time to come home, because I was already like, okay, I'm here two days too long. I need to be back with my kids. I miss them. But, you know, and then just monitoring this stuff from over here. I hope I don't have a huge bill from T-Mobile, because my phone kept turning on. I'm like, turn off. But God's good. We'll take care of that. But if we can all stand, we're just going to ask God to keep praying for India. We're going to just sort of say a short prayer. Amen. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for my family here, Lord, and that we're making a huge, Father, just effort in India. But Father, just in missions alone, Father, that despite anything, Father, we want to see souls come to the Lord. Thank you, God, for the pastor conferences, because we're able to instill and give these pastors tools, Father, that they can use and be strong in faith to just make their flock stronger and make their work easier, Lord. And thank you, God, for all the kids that we have out there and all the workers that we have. Father, we pray a special blessing for every one of our teachers and every one of our pastors, Father. Those that just go out there and that are not supported, but they're just doing it by faith, Father, you said you will bring them what they need for this day, that you are worried about their days and their things that they need, Father. We know that you will take care of, Father. We just bless it, Father. We thank you for a safe trip and a safe trip back, Father. And we just praise you, God, that we have good testimony about your works. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Amen.
Hold on. We want to pray for David.
Okay. Well, I love y'all. I know y'all are praying for me.
Father, we come to you in Jesus' name. We bless our brother in the name of Jesus. We declare, decree, and establish it on the earth by faith that he excels in ministry, and whatever he lays his hands to prospers for the glory of God in Jesus' name. We speak increase over the radio ministry, internet, TV, book publishing, mission work. In every way, Lord, we say that he walks in excellence and increase for the glory of God. And that which he does for our church, Lord, we bless him and ask you to bless him for it in Jesus' name. Help us, Lord, to work together to advance the kingdom of God and bring glory and honor to the name of Jesus. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. You're dismissed.